Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer-elect Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back, cross these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth, hallelujah, as I know it to be. I want to send a hearty shout out to all of my faithful, continual listeners that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program as well as your listening archives. So I just want to send a hearty shout out to you, you, and you, and may God richly bless you as I know he will and he can. So just know that whatever you do for Christ is going to last, and God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. He said in his word that he blesses a cheerful giver. You might say, Overseer Elect Ward, I haven't given anything. But, you know, it's not always monetarily. We know that it takes money, hallelujah, to do anything in this world today. But I'm not speaking about money. I'm just speaking about your time. When you take out your time, hallelujah, that is good in the eyesight of God. And God blesses you because he asked us to be a blessing one unto another. And so we need each other. I need you and you need me. And together, hallelujah, we can help each other, hallelujah, to win this race, to see Jesus when he cracked those clouds one historical day. Hallelujah. And so that's not my sermon, but I just wanted once again to just thank you, my faithful listeners that has been with this program, hallelujah, from its beginnings, the early birth until right now. And I just thank you from the depths of my very heart and soul. And so I want to just tell you that you can just bring your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip, your OJ, your latte, hallelujah, and just come aboard with all your digital devices. May it be a smartphone, may it be a laptop, your tablet. Just bring all your digital toys aboard, excuse me, because we are in need of them. We're living in a high-tech society and look like high-tech is the way. So I just want you to bring yourselves on and just make yourself comfortable. I have the chat room up and available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. And so what we're going to do right now, we're going to open the prayer line. This is not the prayer line that you call into, but I'm talking about the prayer lines of the saints. We usually will send out a prayer to those of you that has lost a loved one, hallelujah, may it be the last 72 hours, may it have been the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, last 16 hours, last 14 hours, hallelujah, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, a moment ago, a second ago, how long, however it has been, may it be previously or right now. I want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, in your hour of a great loss. Just know that God is walking every step of your journey. Hallelujah. You know, as the saying said, when you only saw two set of footprints versus four, when you saw just only two, that's when God carried you. So I know that you're going through. But just know that God is going to take you through, and God is going to bring you out with the victory. And I want you just, hallelujah, to just be encouraged. You have brothers and sisters, prayer warriors, that are praying around the globe, praying for you and I. And we are praying for those that are praying for us. Those that's not praying for us, we are praying for you as well. So we just doing, hallelujah, the itinerary that God has set out for us. That's what we're doing. God sent us, he said, we told God that, God, whatever you want me to go, I'll go. Wherever you want me to say, I'll say. So we know that we have already put in our application to God, and God has given each and every one your, hallelujah, allotted assignment. And those of you that might not have a assignment and that you want to do something for God, you want to work in God's vineyard, all you have to do is just tell God, hallelujah, tell God that you want to work in his vineyard. And I tell you, God has always got positions open because he is an equal opportunity employer. So, you know, God has, hallelujah, he has room for any individual that want to work for God and win souls for the kingdom of God. And so I just want you, like I said, just to be encouraged. We know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy is coming in the morning. And so we just want you to remain encouraged, hallelujah. It might be, hallelujah, might be a dark hour in your life, but we know that God is going to allow the sun to shine again in your life. So we just praying that God will restore the joy that you once knew and restoration unto your heart and soul. Hallelujah. So now, hallelujah, we got to go into our opening prayer. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to go into our opening prayer, and I'm asking those of you that will to just bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. We're going to acknowledge our Lord and Savior each time that we approach this podium. We fail not to acknowledge the one and the only, the soon coming Messiah. His identity is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. And so, God, we just thank you, God, for allowing us this podium in which to spread your word, God. Let the world know that you love them, God. You died out on Calvary Mountain, God, to prove your love for mankind. And so, hallelujah, God, we just thank you for allowing us to connect from the comfort of our own setting, hallelujah, anywhere in the world that you're able to tune in digitally. I don't care where it is. You might be in your castle. You might be in your mansion. You might be in your yacht, your apartment, your duplex. You might be in your tent. You might be on the corner. But wherever you are, if you have a digital device, hallelujah, then God is making his gospel available for you and I and us. Hallelujah. So, God, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity for us, God, to assemble together, God, from around this spectrum, God. God, we're coming as pilgrims, God, in this barren land. And Father God, you said that when you went away, you went to prepare a place for us, God. And upon your return, you would receive us unto yourself. But until that time, God, is upon us, God, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way. We will continue to mount up from the four winds of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west. As I have far stated, hallelujah, as pilgrims, travelers in this barren land, because we know that this is just a temporary holdover, because God has a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but God is the builder. And God said that he went to prepare a place for you and I and us, and when he returned, he would receive you and I and us unto himself. And God, I just want you to enable me, God, just touch, hallelujah, these lips of clay. Enable me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. I want you to grace me, God, hallelujah, your servant. Words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual, God, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. And Father God, we won't take your praise, and we certainly won't take your glory. But we'll give unto you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God's people say a hearty amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to take you right on into a program that's already in progression, and you're tuned in once again to the Old Ship of Zion, where your host and moderator is Overseer-elect Janice Ward. And I just want you to get you a good seat, get close to the radio dial, and allow me to minister the divine word of God unto you on this evening. And so we're just going to go right on in, because we know that time is ticking away, and I didn't want to be before you very long on this evening, but I just want God to have his way in our service on this evening. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you once again, all of you that so graciously tune in. May God richly keep and bless you always. All right, so our sermon entitled on tonight is The Rich Fool, and this is revised. So I've brought this across many years ago, but you know, God's gospel never gets stale, never get old. Each day is, you can just try it out, and it's new every morning. God's word never gets stale. God always has some, you know, some little nuggets, I guess you could say, for you and I and us that are seeking the word of God for knowledge and wisdom in this age in which we live, God. So we're going to dive right on into the program. And so our sermon on this morning, entitled The Rich Fool, and it's revised. Hallelujah. And so we're going to read, and you can go and write down the scriptures that I've announced on this evening. You can go back at your discretion and read what I have read to you on tonight, because I'm going strictly by the word of God. I don't add to God's word, and I don't take away, because God said that he would take away from you and I and us. So I don't want God taking anything from me for being disobedient, but I want to be an obedient daughter of God. And so we're going to go into Matthew 16:26, and it reads like this. Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, is coming out of the law of Matthew 16:26. And so we're talking about, what would you say is your most precious possession? Can you name something that's your most precious possession? Is it something sentimental? Is it something of financial value? Maybe it has only social significance. Or perhaps it is something utterly troubled. But however much a treasure belonging, hallelujah, may be worth, I'm here to encourage your heart on this evening. There is something that you own that is more valuable, my sister and my brother, and that is your own soul. We live in an age in which people seem to pay more attention to trivial than the important issue of life. We know that trivial pursuit, hallelujah, devised by a Canadian journalist in the year of 1982, I believe. It had become as popular as such an old game as Monopoly and Scrabble. To play well, one must answer questions as inconsequential as who died with more than 1,000 patents to his name, or how many tentacles does a squid have? What was the name of Sir Isaac Newton's dog? We know that hardly world-shattering, the game we play, reflects the way we live. This present age is characterized as having wrong values. We know that people seek to live on substitute for the genuine, hallelujah, article. In fact, they have done so ever since sin first entered the world. Jesus' parable of the rich fool concern such a man. And we said that then one from the crowd said to Jesus, says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator, hallelujah, over you? And he said to them, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? So I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. Hallelujah. There I will store all of my crops and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. He said, take your ease and eat and drink and be merry. Hallelujah. But God said to him, said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lay up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 12 and 13 through 21. Now, we know in this society in which we live, everybody want to be a billionaire, a millionaire, or some might even want to be a trillionaire. I don't know if it's such a thing. I know they say we're $1 trillion in deficit, so it might be. I don't know if it's such a thing as a trillionaire, but I do know there's a billionaire. And people look like they just wanting more money. They got more money than they'll ever outlive. They got more money than they will spend in this lifetime. But yet, the devil just got them working like a dog, you know, working like a slave. And you are not even able to sit down in that elegant chair or that couch, that sofa, that chaise, whatever you have, it's your possession. You can't drive that car because you are being driven around and the car is just sitting there collecting dust. Your clothes, you're not able to wear them because the moth has come along as eaten at your clothing. Hallelujah. So God tell us, don't lay up, hallelujah, your worldly goods so that thieves can come in and break into your home. And if the thieves don't come in and break into your home and take your possessions, then God said, then the moth will come along and eat at your clothing. So we know that moth love material. Moth will eat at anything. I don't care. It can be a mink coat. It can be an overcoat. It can be a sweater. It can be a dress. It can be a skirt. It can be a pair of socks. A moth love to eat at cloth. So if you have clothes, that's cloth. And moth will come in and eat it, a hole into your garment. So God wants us to lay up treasure in heaven where there will not be allowed any thieves is not going to be hanging around heaven. No thieves are going to be able to break into heaven because it's going to be by appointment only. See, you're going to get to heaven by appointment. You're not going to just, you know, come in uninvited. But you're going to have to, hallelujah, you're going to have to do what it takes to see God. I mean, you're going to have to go through hell and high water. We're going to have to go through something. You know, we want everything microwavable. We want everything quick. But one thing is for sure is that we know that while we're yet living, we got to choose this day who you're going to serve because we know that you cannot serve both Lucifer and God at the same time. For darkness and light cannot walk hand in hand. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you will love one and despise the other. So a lot of times we have plenty of nothing. And we know that the subject of this story that I'm sharing with you on tonight is the story of a man who had plenty. He had all that money could buy. There's nothing wrong with material wealth. Hallelujah. As long as one is aware of its limitation. We know that money can buy a bed, but it won't buy you sleep. Money will buy you books, but not brains. Money will buy you food, but not an appetite. Money will buy a house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Money can also buy sinful pleasures, but it can never purchase salvation's peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. bless your holy name. We find out that King Solomon reflected on what he had gained for himself and described it all as vanity of vanities. The same was true of the rich fool in this parable that I'm talking about on this evening. He had plenty of everything but peace. And there might be someone that's out there in my listening audience on this evening that you have everything at your beck and call, at your whistle, you know, but one thing you don't have, and that is peace. Peace in your heart, peace in your mind, peace in your soul, peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. But despite all of the rich food possessions, this man had a problem. He had so much, he did not know what to do with the excess. And a lot of times we have so much in this lifetime that we don't know what to do with the excess. We don't want to give it away, you know. We want to just hold on to it for whatever reason. We want to hold on to it. But at the same time, he gave no thought, hallelujah, to the widows and the orphans or others who were poor and needy. He was completely self-satisfied and self-indulgent. There's a lot of us in this world today. Hallelujah. That meets your description. That meets your identity. That meets your MO as being, hallelujah, self-centered, self-indulgent, self-satisfied. But the Bible says that give me neither poverty nor riches. That's Proverbs 30. And 8. Paul wrote that one should be content having food and clothing. Then we go on over to the law of 1 Timothy 6 and 8. More than this is always a burden. Wealth and worries are forever wedded together. Hallelujah. Then you might have a formulated plan. The rich man's problem was hidden. He merely thought within himself. But he revealed his plan. He would pull down his barns and build greater ones so that he could eat, drink, and be merry. And that might be some individual in our world today, in our audience on tonight, that you have everything that money can buy, but you don't have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. So we know that this man's idea was to hoard his own wealth, the very thing that caused his problems. His selfishness was such that six times he thought poked of as I. We think about I. He referred to my bones, my crop, my goods, and my soul. That last especially revealed his folly. Without doubt, hallelujah, we know that it was God who had given him everything. But he had forgotten the giver of all good things. He had forgot about the giver of good gifts. If it were not for God, he would have never had crops, nor good, nor a soul. All the rich man's thinking and planning was based on the false assumption that time was on his side. And a lot of us think that, hey, I can build bigger barns, tear down the small ones and just build bigger ones. I know I got more wealth than I can spend, but I need more. I need more. I need to make more money. I don't need to work 3 days. I need to work five. I don't need to work 5 days. I need to work seven. I need to work 365 days without being off, without having a rest. Hallelujah. The devil has got you bound by money, bound by possessions. It's not hallelujah, sin to have possession. Possession is good gift from God. But when we let it ruin our lives, then that's where it gets to be a folly. Hallelujah. And so we know that the rich man was planning, and it was based on the false assumption that the time was on his side. He thought he was going to live forever. Truly he would have admitted that no one lived forever. Yet he lived his life as if he did not believe that. We know that even in today's world, in the mad, greedy rush for luxury and comfort and commerce, People base their lives on a lie. They live on temporary replacements and not reality. But we know that the substitute do not last, and the only one who really matters is ignored. But we know that immediately after this parable, Jesus talked about worry. He said how needless, how useless, how godless it was. Anxiety exists. However, because the structure of people's lives has not been built with the Lord as their foundation and a treasure in the heavens, their gold. God command all people everywhere to repent of their sins. This is a personal call. The only voice is to heed also call that time is up. When God calls someone a fool, it must be a perfect assessment. But God never makes mistakes. We know that the book of Psalms and Proverbs describe some of the attitudes of a fool. Each one applies to this man. In Psalms 14 and 1, we read that the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Maybe someone out there in my listening audience on tonight saying that there is no God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The rich fool revealed his attitude by leaving God out of all his thinking. And that is the way of some of the people in this world today thinks. They feel like, hey, I got a business mind. I have business ethics. I have money marveling chart. I have a limousine to pick me up and carry me wherever I want to go. Hallelujah. But they don't acknowledge that God exists, for their money have become their God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that when we're leaving God out of all of his thinking and planning and scheming, Psalm 74 and 18 says that a foolish people blasphemes God's name. And we see that by talking of my soul. We're talking about the rich man had been guilty of such blasphemy. In Psalms 107 and 17, we read that fools are afflicted because of their transgressions. In the law of Proverbs 1 and 7 says that the fool despises wisdom. Proverbs 18 and 7 says that he has destruction in his mouth. Proverbs 21 and 20, that he spent foolishly true treasure. This rich fool was guilty on all accounts. And Proverbs 26 and 10 states that the law of God that applied to this rich man. The great God who formed all things give the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. God knows not only the date of our birth, but also the date of our death. One day, we must all pass through the turnstile of death, the great interrupter, personal ambition and involvement cease to moments God blows, that final whistle. We know that there is a day that's coming when the doctor will put down his stethoscope for the last time. The minister will preach his last sermon. The builder will pick away his tools forever. The farmer will plow his fields for the final sowing. Hallelujah. Let me correct that. The builder will pack away his tools forever. The farmer will plow his fields for the final sowing. We know that that day hastens on. Time stands still for none of us. The Bible speaks of the quickness of time. The Bible says that life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In the law of Job 7 and 6, and all flesh is grass. The grass wither, the flowers fade. Isaiah 40 and 6 through 7, if you ask an elderly person how long his life has seen, even we know, hallelujah, that that individual would say that he or she has raced by that childhood as it was yesterday. Time rushes by. The Bible also notes how important the quality of time is. And we know that as men and women of God, we are told to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're living in such a time right now. We know that in this 21st century, the Bible says in the law of Ephesians 5 and 15 through 16, once a man heard a sermon in which all listeners were challenged to ensure that each relationship was right and that apologies were owed to no one. The man was so moved by what he had heard that he went home to write a letter of apology to his mother, whom he had wronged many times over the years. A few days later, he received an urgent call to visit his mother, who was very ill in a hospital across the country. The man rushed to her bedside, but she was unconscious and never recovered. So you just imagine his relief when, sorting through her things, he found his letter. It had evidently been opened and read, so this relationship had been mended just in time. But in contrast, hallelujah, Jesus, we know that Jesus tell us, hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. We know that from the Bible point of view, we know that God has a timetable for each of us. Even for the Lord Jesus, who said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Because we know that the night is coming when no one can work. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 9 and 4. Hallelujah. We know from the Bible that the brevity of life raises a question of time. Human decisions affect eternity. 5 minutes can wreck and ruin a life as well as one eternity destiny. Elijah asked the Israelites, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. In the law of 1 Kings 18 and 21, the people tried to avoid choosing, but their decision was in itself a rejection to God. And that's what we're doing today. We are rejecting God, and we are in tune with Lucifer. We love Lucifer. We don't want you to say anything harsh, anything bad, anything condemning about Lucifer, because we have fallen in love with him. He was one of God's most prestigious angelic angels. God had him to watch, hallelujah, in the Garden of Eden. And then the Bible don't give a time or a date, but the Bible says that I think God said that it was evil, yes, evil, that had come into Lucifer's heart. Satan, our adversary, has many names. Lying, a father of lies, he has many names. Hallelujah. Father of the air. But the Bible says that he had evil come up in his heart, and he no longer wanted to abide by the rules and the guidelines that God had set forth, but he wanted to do his own thing. In other words, he wanted to take God's seat on the throne. He wanted to be God, and he wanted to exchange places with Jesus. So Jesus would then be Lucifer, and then Lucifer Jesus. Now, what a joke. Now, let's show you what kind of mindset that Lucifer has. You know, he think he's very smart. He think he's very articulated. He's very ambitious, and he's very he can make money like no one else can. Now, he do have those credentials. He can make money. A man can be broke this minute, but you give him a couple of hours, he'll leave home and he'll come back with some money. And that's the way Lucifer is. Lucifer can make money. He's a business-minded man, but he's evil. And his MO, his motive of operation every day, for you and I and us is to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his main objective every day. And if he don't get you today, if he don't get you tonight, he'll try you in the morning. If he don't get you in the morning, he'll try you at lunchtime. He don't get you at lunchtime, he'll try you at breakfast. If he can't get you at breakfast, he'll try you at dinner. If he can't get you at dinner, he'll try you at supper. He's got a time set to try to destroy you, make you destroy yourself. A lot of people that the devil has talked inside of their head, told them that they was no good and they would never be anything. They will never amount to be anything. And you might well just call it quit. You just might well just take a gun and put it upside your head and just shoot your brains out. This is the way that Lucifer works, because he don't care anything about you and I and us. He don't care anything about God. He hates God. He despises God. And everything that God stands for, he despises. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. But like I said, hallelujah, Jesus, but God is wanting you to not be in love with your commodities. It's all right to be wealthy. It's all right to be rich. Because God was rich. The Bible says God was rich. Now, don't get it twisted. God was not poor. But God was rich. But God said he became poor, so God would know what it would feel like having nothing. God would know what it feel like to be deserted. God would know what it feel like to pain, the agony of the cross. God would know what it feel like to be spit upon. God would know what it feel like, hallelujah, to be hammered with nails, hallelujah, in your hands and in your feet. God would know what it feel like to be stabbed with spikes of a crown planted upon his head. God know what it feel like to be abused because he was whooped 39 stripes, hallelujah, on his back. For yours and mine and our sin, hallelujah. Who wouldn't want to serve a God that gave his all, hallelujah, so we could have a life, the true life, to live for God when we leave this earth. Hallelujah. God said that that was going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be a new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That the heaven right now that God sits in is going to be, hallelujah, destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. So all your riches that you have, hallelujah, have made down here on earth will be of no importance in heaven. You won't need to have no money in heaven. It will be the life that you have lived down here on earth before God and before man that will determine your destination with God. God said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Hallelujah. And your wealth and your riches, you can have that. But God wants you to love him first. Love him most of all. God said, I'll be number one. And if I can't be number one, I won't dare be number two. I won't dare be second best. I won't dare be runners up. But I will be number one, or I will not be nothing in your life. Hallelujah. It's all right to have wealth, but do you know when enough is enough? Do you know when it's time to quit? It's time to sit down, hallelujah, and enjoy with God, though. Enjoy. But God has blessed you to partake of. Hallelujah. God love you, and everything that we have is a gift from God. Because God tell us in his word, he said that you come in this world with nothing. I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care what you have. Without God. Now I'm talking about without God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rich fool that the money was his God. He didn't think about the one that made that all possible. because God's word says that without me, hallelujah, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do everything. See, we have to get that out of our equivocal mind that we can make it without God, because God already said in his 66 books, without me, my son and daughter, my sister and my brother, in the gospel, God says, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do anything. So we know that it's limited on what you can do, because just like God gave it, the Bible says God giveth and he taketh, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So, like I said, the rich fool in this parable was also lost, and he lost everything. But most important of all, he paid a terrible price for his foolishness. His soul, did he not realize that the risk of eternal loss is too great to gamble with? Hallelujah. If one could accumulate all of the fame, all of the fortunes, and the friends in the world, they would be insignificant compared with the value of one human soul. To lose, hallelujah, one wealth is much. To lose one health is more. To lose one soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The Bible tells us, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, this is true, both for the men of history and the men of today's world. Hallelujah. I've often asked people, where would you spend eternity? Most have never thought about the issue or simple hope that everything will eventually be all right. Just that it would be foolish to go on, hallelujah, on a plane flight if you thought there would be a crash landing. So it is folly to go through life without making preparation to ensure that all will be well at your final destination. Christ, too, had an hour of death. In fact, he was born a man, hallelujah, so he could die. He voluntarily went to the cross, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, he did. He went to the cross to take on himself all the follies and rebellion of which we human beings are guilty. He died carrying the load of the world of sin on himself. We know that the sting of death is sin, but the sinless Jesus, he allowed himself to be faithfully stung by the wrong of all of us. We know that the supreme act of foolishness is to spend our days on earth rejecting or neglecting God. The greatest act of wisdom is to get right with God who made us. And before we will all ultimately stand for our final judgment, it'd be the final curtain call, as MJ would say. Ask Jesus right now to be your Savior and Lord in life and in death, and on into eternity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So, God wants you to choose ye this day who you're going to serve, because we know that you cannot serve Satan and God at the same time. God wants you to have success. God wants you to be blessed beyond measures. But God do not want you to put your earthly treasures, your earthly commodities before him. replacing your commodities instead of having God in your life. We all need God in our lives because we are just like a ship without a sail when we don't have God's salvation in our lives. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. We need God in our lives. We need God every hour. We know that satanic force is real. The devil want to kill you. He don't like you. He don't care nothing about your money. He don't care nothing about your fortune and your fame because he want to put you in a position where you'll lose it all. You'll lose it all or you'll leave it all, one or the other. You'll lose it or leave it. Because when you die, you're not going to carry any of those Benjamins, Franklins, those Hamiltons, those Jeffersons, those Washingtons. You're not going to care those. You're not going to carry any of those earthly commodities in the grave. Even if somebody put you a lavish diamond brooch on, diamond bracelet, a Rolex watch, mink stove, mink coat. If the moth don't eat, then the thief's going to come back and steal it. So, but when you got God with your treasures, then you got everything. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. So if I was you on this evening, if I didn't know God in the pardons of my iniquity, I would stand right where I was standing, right where I was kneeling, right where I was bending, right where I was laying, and ask God that I acknowledge that I'm a son of God. I have sinned before thee. Forgive me for all the sins that I have committed, hallelujah, in this soul. And God will immediately forgive you of all sins that you have committed. And God, hallelujah, will take up resident in that soul of yours. But it has to be free from debris of sin. Because God will not, shall not live in an unclean temple. But it has to be clean and rid of sin and debris. So God can take up resident in your heart. Hallelujah. It takes only a moment. Hallelujah. We know that we can ask God to come in our lives and be our Lord and our Savior and our Deliverer. And God will do that. God loves us unconditionally. Hallelujah. And God do not want one soul lost. Hallelujah. So God don't want you to harden not your heart. But God wants you to submit, hallelujah, to him your life. And God will continually to bless you. But don't hoard up all your worldly possessions where thieves can come in and steal. Moth can come in and eat away at your clothes. God wants you to lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves are not allowed or not even permitted to come around heaven. Thieves, because God says you have to come through the door. So if you don't come through the door, he says you can't come as a thief and a robber. So you know you're not going to go to heaven if you're talking about being a thief and a robber. Because only holy saints of God will be entered into the heavenly gates. Hallelujah, where the Bible describes it as the streets of gold. Each gate from the north, south, east, and west will have a great big old pearl at each gate. And that gold that you wear around your neck, you wear around your wrist, your ankle. You wear you maybe your wedding ring or your just rings in general, diamonds and gold that you have in your mouth. That'll be like asphalt in heaven. Gold will be asphalt because it will be what you and I, if you live holy down here on earth, God say he has a mansion that prepared for you and I and us. And it's a mansion like no other you could ever have witnessed in all of your wildest dreams. Because it's not built by a mortal man, but it's built by a spiritual being. And God is a spirit. And God said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to illuminate your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. This program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. Have any petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in front of your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Make your correspondence to Overseer Elect Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Guerrero, California, 95020. We want you to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people-friendly. We'll ask you to go in God and allow God, hallelujah, to go in you. If you have any prayer petitions, the prayer line is open. And now is the time, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want to bring before the Lord and before me, you prayed about it, then you can call in. And I will touch and agree that God will bring it to its fruition. And if not, then we're going to change the service over to, hallelujah, Hymns of Zion. That's to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Make some somebody love you. Sinking. Many stars are falling down. Thank you. when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. Don't listen, you just sit, keep running. Don't just stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light, you hold the light, and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you light up. You hold the light, you got a light, you bring the light, and it's shining and they can see it, they won't hit it, but it's not for the taking. It's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. Opportunities to fade, shade, and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent. And believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More can start to speak and go be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light, and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you light up. You hold the light, you got a light. You bring the light, and it's shining and they can see it. They won't hit it, but it's not for the taking. It's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing. It's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you.
Shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. You rolled around, you fighting for it. The thought of you free from danger, fear, depression, and anger, confusion, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my two stuff, fighting but with a confuser. Lyrics and tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. Cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you can be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect.
Walking, always waiting for something to fall.
tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night you see the light of day, cause I've been blind for way too long and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way.
We must be one.
frying pan into the fire. Always dreaming up the devil as a liar. Truth is, we've all lost touch. And I don't think the devil's talking that much. People pushing their kids into the test like clothes. Knowing your Lord is flesh. $1 million homes, big checks. Nice whips, cash, sex. I'm nauseous. I'm so sick of materialistic nonsense. So I made a whole list of his Himalayas, making the dead rise. Live consciousness. Don't blame him. Keep watching him. He's always been there. Yeah, my God's in this. Change the skeptics in the optimistic lab. Turning all the haters into positive ads. Behold, I do a new thing. It's great, I am. It's the true thing. Blood of Christ, red is the new flag. And good is the new bad. So in that case, you bad. Ain't mine, it's yours. Please have mercy, Lord. These lights on ours, they're yours. Please have mercy, Lord. Sometimes looking at us, can't tell. He bought him with his life, seems like a bad sale. But he knows best. I give him mine, maybe you should, but never mind. I gave him mine, that's enough. I rock with him, knuckle up. I'm coming in, I've been knocking, but no one answered, so I walk in.
Trust me, baby girl, something's different. It's accepting that we're not in control.
giving our lives to the one who is. He wipes our noses and subdue our fears. Honestly, that's all it really is. In our youth, we had hopes too, but some heroes never ever appear. Gently down the stream,
Miss Fady,
merrily,
little lady,
life is but a dream,
Miss Fady, little lady,
oh, just a little girl,
Miss Fady,
grown up in the cocoa world,
little lady,
well, nothing's what it is.
Come back home, brother. Johnny met Donna, and they fell in love, but had no idea what love really was. But they tried their best to make each other smile, but while learning themselves, they would have a child. But with no time to think the whole thing through, little time to prepare, it got tough to provide for him and give him love and care. How do I, when and where, are questions they both often ask us. Life is full of twists, life is full of swirls, worlds, it's worlds, 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 it's the way of the world, it gets you upside down. When you're young, when you're old, it just spins out of control, whoa, it spins out of control. Because you never know. Johnny and Donna slowly recognized that for the baby's future, they planned two different lives. A family, she wanted to do it right, make Johnny's house a home. She wanted to be your wife, but Johnny was a dreamer and he had to move around. Yeah, he'd be there for his child, but wouldn't settle down. How do I, when and where, are questions they both often ask God. Life is full of twist, life is full of swirls, is the way of the world. Whirlwinds and girlfriends, toys and boyfriends, friends and Frenchmen, wars and impeachment, gentlemen, ladies, my neighbors, ladies, mistakes and peach rings, flecks and bleach stains. Don't forget wasps and bee stains. Whether you're Johnny or Donna, or neither of the two, just try to make the best of what's given to you. Suicide, genocide, homicide.
changing. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits because they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. I'm not guaranteed, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people, God's got a hold on. In spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by, no, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause His hand is on me, it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust You more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth, your God.